Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to TC Live. The sun is out finally in San Diego. More trophies to hand out on this championship Sunday. We've got our final from San Diego later today on Tennis Channel. Marta Kostya, Katie Bolter, both looking for career highs to snag up that 500 level crown in San Diego. That is coming up later today, but a lot to get to here on TC Live. Who says love means nothing in tennis? How about the romance double? Alex De Minaur and Katie Bolter looking for titles on the very same weekend. We'll tell you about that plane flight. All South American final in Chile in the Golden Swing finale. Would the home crowd get their wish in Santiago? And details on Maria Sakkari's spin on the coaching carousel. She is taking another top 10 player's old coach. We will break it all down for you. A lot to get to today on TC Live. Welcome into our studio in Santa Monica, California. Steve Weissman back alongside Andrea Petkovic. We got Mark Knowles in the house as well. So we're definitely going to be talking Jesse Pegula later in the show as well. But listen, let's start by saying we're almost to the Sunshine Double. We're just 3 days away from Indian Wells. Biggest tournament of the year outside of the Grand Slam. So 2 months into the season, what's your biggest storyline so far?
Well, for me, speaking for the WTA, speaking for the women, for me, it was Aryna Sabalenka's dominating run at the Australian Open. And the reason I say that, it's not only the run and Aryna's title, it's also what it did to Rybakina and Świątek after that. Rybakina coming off with a title after that, Świątek as well. It just is what we need on the WTA tour, is rivalries, and we need players breathing down each other's neck, pushing each other to become better. And that's why Aryna Sabalenka being so dominant, I think, was really important for the WTA in general.
Yeah, Sabalenka on the women's side. What do you think, Knowlesy, on the men's side?
Well, I'm going to take the champion on the men's side as well. I'm going to take Jannik Sinner. I think that that's going to be very interesting now. He's now a Grand Slam champion. Obviously, he had a huge finish to last year. But as we know, it's different once you become a Grand Slam major champion. Your time off the court, on the court, how do you kind of proportion all of that? Everything changes. So you're going into the first Masters 1000 of the year. I'm going to be curious to see. He obviously played pretty well in Rotterdam. Didn't play at the same level as he did at the Australian Open, but he obviously played well enough to win, which shows that he's a different level player now. So I'll be curious to see how he responds in Indian Wells.
And that's a really interesting point about the off-court activities, because back in Italy, there was a little controversy about him not going to the Sanremo Music Festival, which is a huge thing in Italy, and it's a big honor to be invited to that. He decided not to go because he wanted to train for Rotterdam. It was the right decision. He won Rotterdam. But I agree with you, Mark. It's going to be very interesting. I don't think Indian Wells is exactly the right conditions the ideal conditions for Jannik Sinner. But he is a different player now. He's a Grand Slam champion. And he has a great coaching team. And that's very important.
Carlos Alcaraz, Elena Rybakina, the defending champions heading into Indian Wells. We'll talk more about Tennis Paradise later in the show. But let's start by getting you back to Santiago, Chile, the final that we just witnessed. Sebastian Baez, Alejandro Tabilo, both looking for their second titles of the season.
This was such an interesting contest. Both men came out and felt each other out. We're looking, what can the other bring? What can I bring? Tactical minds, both of them. And it was Tabilo who was able to use his forehand from the center of the court and control those rallies. He took a lot of balls up the line to set up for his forehand. But I don't know what Sebastian Baez did in the bathroom. He went off the court. He came back a completely different player. He raised his game and his level to a different atmosphere, and he couldn't lose a point anymore. There was a stretch where he hit 10 winners back to back to back. This was one of them. It was not all winners with speed. It was drop shots, it was lobs, and his forehand, one of the quickest on the ATP tour, was really the way to go. However, Tabilo, home crowd, he brought it all back to him, and we lost the feed. This was the saddest part of the whole match when it was most important. But the forehand, in the end, for Sebastian Baez, sealed the deal.
Sealed the deal, and how about A title in back-to-back weeks for the Argentine. 9 straight wins, and that means since the start of 2023, Sebastian Baez, 5 titles, joins good company with Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, Jannik Sinner, and Daniil Medvedev. This is a guy who that 5 means something else, Nolzi. He is 5th in the race to turn right now with his back-to-back titles in the Golden Swing. What did you think of his effort out there today?
Well, it's fascinating, right? You said back-to-back titles, backing up that 500 title last week in Rio. But what people don't realize is when Baez first came on the scene, we said Schwartzman 2.0, yep. Right? How many career titles for Schwartzman in his career? 4. Mm. How many does Baez have already? He's got 6 titles. So this guy is quickly announcing that he's maybe even more. Schwartzman got as high as 8 in the world, and now Baez moving up in the rankings in the top 20 for the first time ever at 19. So there's still a lot more to come from this guy. He's playing some really good tennis.
9 straight wins. Obviously, winning begets winning. What do you make of his chances heading into Indian Wells in Miami?
I really like them. I think Indian Wells is very similar to clay. It's not the same, of course, but it is very similar. And one of my favorite shots right now on the ATP Tour is Sebastian Baez's forehand. He sets up for it so early when the ball is just passing the net. He's already in position and just manages to put his whole body through, creates so much pace, and it's just beautiful to watch. I like his chances at Indian Wells to maybe cause a little bit of a surprise there.
And how about in Miami? They have a tendency to support the Argentinians, right? Mm-hmm. So with the right crowd, watch out for Baez.
Watch out. He is the first guy to win multiple titles in the Golden Swing since Christian Garin back in 2020. All signs pointing upward for Sebastian Baez. Same thing for Alex de Minaur. This was a year ago, won his biggest title in Acapulco, coming from a set down to beat Tommy Paul. He said, I know the hard work that's put in to be here, and it is good to see the results. Not always that you win the tournament and get to finish a week unbeaten. Could he do it again? Would be the 4th player to defend a title here, facing Casper Ruud Nosy.
Yeah, this was quite a match, and we expected big things. Alex de Minaur has really changed his game, right? He talked about he'd used his speed to his advantage throughout his career. Coming into this season, he felt like he needed to be more offensive. And what he did in this match was super offensive. He was taking it to Casper Ruud. He had 27 winners in this match, whereas Casper only had 8. So he was very aggressive with his game plan. He stuck to his strategy. He's always going to use the wheels to his advantage, but he can get any ball. I mean, there were some rallies in there towards the end of the match where the crowd was on their feet. I mean, I don't know who's faster than this guy. This guy is incredible. So watch out. Alex de Minaur is into the top 10. He's playing aggressive tennis, and as we know, he moves so well. So he's playing really good tennis right now.
Said it was his best match of the tournament. 8th career title, 2nd win over Ruud, and that's what it means for the Demon. Able to get through the week once again. That's back-to-back titles in Acapulco. Gets another one of those fruits and another chapeau as well. Started with Taro Daniel in straight sets. Took out Stefano Tsitsipas from a set down. Jack Draper and then Casper Ruud. So you just go back-to-back in Acapulco. Fiesta time, right?
Got a party, don't you?
There's a big party here later on. Are we going to see you there?
You know what? Cannot, because I've got a 6 a.m. flight to go to Tijuana and go watch Katie play in the final, so I'm looking forward to that.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Well, I guess no party. I mean, how sweet is that? And by the way, he put on his Instagram the feed of him and his team at the airport at 6 a.m., took that flight, got to San Diego. Not only that, Andrea, he was on the practice court in San Diego. It's been raining all day there, literally drying the courts for his girlfriend who's about to take the court in the final later tonight.
Great boyfriend. I will say I'm a strong believer in love means nothing in tennis. However, I will say Katie and Alex might just as well convince me otherwise. Well done. If you make me believe in love again, more power to you.
Unbelievable, really. I mean, obviously, boyfriend of the year is wrapped up. Yeah. Nobody else. I mean, you might as well forget it. But, you know, I went to school at UCLA out here, and a lot of my friends went to Tijuana for different reasons. So good to see that he's going to Tijuana and getting to San Diego to support his girlfriend.
All right, on the court, Andrea, what did you make of his effort taking out Casper Ruud and winning another title? This is a guy that started the year beating Novak Djokovic, beating Sasha Zverev, beating Taylor Fritz. And right now he's third in the race to Turin.
And deservedly so. And I think the match point really showed it. What did he do? He played serve and volley. When did we see Alex de Minaur play serve and volley? He's really, and this is what I love to see, he was a top 20 player. So many people in the world would say he's accomplished it all. No, he wants to get better. And this is what differentiates great players from good players. He wants to get better. He has 10 miles per hour on average more on his first serve. He's hitting the forehand bigger. He's hitting all his shots bigger. And he's deservedly the number three race player right now.
Yeah, I mean, Alex is doing everything well. I've been fortunate. He's obviously good friends with his mentor and his idol, Leighton Hewitt. So they've been in the Bahamas a couple of times, gotten to hang out with these guys. This guy does everything right. I mean, not only is he boyfriend of the year, but when you talk about professionalism on the court, off the court, and looking at his assessment, right? He's been such a successful player, but he came into this season saying, you know what? I know if I want to be better, if I want to challenge, have more wins against the top 10 players. He's got 5 of them already this season. He said that was something he wasn't doing, even though he had a successful career so far. He wasn't beating the top players. He knew he had to make some changes. He knew he had to be more aggressive, and we're seeing that. So this guy turns every stone. He's doing everything right. Well done, Alex.
Can he do it at the majors? 3 out of 5.
I think, honestly, I think Wimbledon should be the best for him. I don't know why I think that, but I think that